Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here with Mr. Robin Ellis. Hi there.
Hi.
How you doing?
I am wonderful.
You having fun?
Yeah, I am this morning.
You had a good day yesterday.
I have a good day most days.
Yeah, but you had an exceptional day yesterday.
Yeah, I did.
You got all your wool stuff, felting stuff ready to go for Christmas. So.
It was a really good day.
It was a really good day. So anyway, 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show. My name is Alan Ellis, and we talk about fishing and hunting in the great outdoors. And I haven't heard from any waterfowl hunters yet, so we don't know if there's a lot of goose people out there or not. I guess they are. Maybe they're just out there putting their decoys out and getting ready. And hopefully they'll have the right wind and everything else and get those geese moving this morning. There's a lot of talk about the downfall of the goose population in just one year. There was no nesting success. There was no recruitment. Only 122,000 pairs showed up. The fact that we kill 40% of the Atlantic population here in Maryland, 176,000 geese last year. That's a lot of geese. Everybody was talking about an extremely successful year and how many geese there were. And even though all those geese returned to the Arctic Circle to breed, you know, they usually start mating right at the end of the season, and then they go north to breed in, May, June, and that type of thing. They had so much snow and so much ice on the ground that the crop failed. The nesting failed. So all the birds that are returning this year are going to be mature birds. You know, not going to have those dumb juveniles that are quick to decoy. These birds have been around a little bit. So it might be a little tougher season. And there's a lot of guys out there talking about cutting back on days to conserve or, you know, maybe only taking one goose. Because they know next year
next year's federal, right?
It's all federal. It's always federal. But the guidelines for next year are 30 days, one goose. So we'll see what happens. Let's talk to Camo Preacher. Good morning, Camo Preacher. How are you?
Good morning, Alan and Robin.
Good morning.
I want to wish you guys a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank
also.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And enter the contest.
Yep.
My wife my wife gave me the answer about the gun question.
None?
No.
No more.
She said as many as he wants.
Oh, yeah, I bet your wife said that.
No, I'm serious. She's right there. Go ahead. Speak up.
I did. I actually did.
As many as he wants. Now, I like that answer better than the other one.
I thought so. I had to share that so the rest of you guys can eat your heart out. That's the kind of wife I have.
Wow.
Alan is right now, trust me.
Yep. Wow. Yeah.
It's all good.
Russ, I've got... there's not anything that walks in this country that you know, I don't have a firearm to take care of, you know?
There you go.
So.
Even that kick in the door at 3 a.m.
Yeah, that one could be met with a little bit of resistance.
Yeah.
Yeah, no question. So.
I'm the same way. There's a specific gun for each of the hunts, whatever the game is.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. So.
It's all good, man.
And then there's the fun ones, you know?
Yes.
So,
Lincoln and
yep.
The neighbor's cat.
Come on now. And just because I want one.
That's it.
I got a couple of those, too.
You want a mounted cat on your mantle?
Do what?
You want a mounted cat?
No, not unless it's a bobcat that I take legally or a mountain lion, which is another bucket list.
Russ,
idea.
We don't need any more on the mantle. If you could have seen us. trying to find places to put taxidermy in my in the house because we're redoing the back room where all this taxidermy was.
Yeah.
It was. We got stuff. The dining room table you can't eat anymore. I think we got one in the kitchen. I mean, it's, you know.
I've got.
I heard the conversation in the first part of the show. Maybe you need to take that some of that fund that you guys are using for bling and guns and build an addition.
It's being built as we speak.
There you go.
Yeah, it is actually being built. It's being enhanced. There's a room in the back of Robin's house. It's about 20 by 30, something like that. And it needed an upgrade, so we are upgrading it.
We're having to put a cathedral ceiling.
Making your own dining hall.
Well, if we extended it another, 20 feet out one direction, we might have a dining hall. But no, it's going to be a big family room, and we can't wait to get the family there
for entertaining.
Exactly. Yeah.
And my poor contractor has been told that if it's not done by Christmas, he's the star on top of the Christmas tree.
Hey, there goes another taxidermy job.
Exactly. Exactly right. Yeah. All right, guys. Appreciate the call.
Yep. Have a great holiday, bro.
All right. Thanks. You too. See you later.
Bye, Jen.
Bye-bye. All right. Let's talk about deer hunting. Junior hunt's over, so that one's in the book. So here are some of the stuff on deer, the antler point restrictions. Okay, the statewide antler point statewide is in effect on some but not all of the antlered white-tailed deer a hunter may harvest during the licensed year. The antler point restriction includes these regulations: hunters may harvest one antlered white-tailed deer within the yearly bag limit does not meet the requirement of having at least 3 points on one antler. Any additional antlered white-tailed deer within the year bag limit must have at least 3 points to one antler. Got it? So the 4-point I shot last year with my 1954 30-30 Winchester Model 94 with open sights was legal. I just wanted to do it. I'd never taken a deer with that gun. That's one of those fun ones. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Yep. Did not meet the antler restrictions, but I only took one whitetail buck last year. Anything after that would have had to been at least 3 on one side of points 1 inch or longer. Okay, that's the antler restriction.
Okay.
So a 6-point, basically. These deer may be taken in any order within the existing bag limit. Junior hunters, of course, that's done. Now, a bonus antler deer stamp may be taken only in Region B. Okay? Bonus antler deer stamp must be purchased prior to purchasing prior to pursuing a bonus antler deer. Boy, they got purchasing and pursuing right there in the same line. Hunting license holders that purchase a bonus antlered deer stamp may take one additional white-tailed deer in Region B during one season of their choice, archery, muzzleloader, or firearm. Those who may hunt without a license and possess an apprentice hunting license do not need to purchase a bonus antlered deer stamp to take a bonus antlered white-tailed deer. The use of a bonus antlered deer stamp to take one additional antlered white-tailed deer increases the total bag limit for the hunting license year, archery, muzzleloader, and firearms, to 3. A bonus antlered deer stamp that is not used during one season may be used in a subsequent season. So if you shoot one with a bow and you want to shoot another one with a bow on your bonus stamp, you can do that. But not the only restriction is the early muzzleloader season. Only one bonus antlered white-tailed deer may be taken for each hunting license year. The bonus antlered deer stamp may not be used during the October 18th to 20th portion of the muzzleloader season. Bonus antlered deer stamps may not be used to take sick a deer. Okay? So there you go. Now, that explains the bonus deer, the bag limit, and the antler restrictions. We'll probably review that next week with Brian Eiler, and have any clarifications that might need clarified with Brian. So that'll be next week's show on the first day of deer season. So be sure you're listening early. That's for sure. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Nice to get emails from John B. and from our buddy Wes, and from Arnold, and so forth. What does this say? Be trained, be prepared, be alert. I like that. I like that, Wes. That's a nice signature line. Yep. And there's John B. He's confused again, but that's okay. He's allowed to be.
I got a question.
What?
I'm going to go on the only stupid questions, one you don't ask. One you don't ask.
Yeah.
Okay. When you talk about the goose picking at Chesapeake Outdoors.
Yeah.
Is that all still done by hand? Or is there...
You know, I don't know if they have a plucker or not, but usually when you take the feathers off, they use a machine that has rubber fingers on it.
Really?
Yeah. And what they do, what they'll do is they'll it basically slaps the feathers off of them.
That's it, if you, it's one that you don't want to have a taxidermy mount over.
What? Correct, because it's all destroyed. Yeah, they don't skin them, you know. So if you want to have one mounted by taxidermy, take the entire critter to the taxidermist.
I knew all goose picking used to be by hand. I didn't know if there was something they had come up with, and now you just told me. Thank
yeah.
you.
No, there's a, you know, the feathers, critters with feathers, people who have a commercial interest in chickens and turkeys and things like that have come up with a variety of machinery over the years. But usually it's a revolving drum with rubber fingers on it that slap the feathers off of them without harming the meat. Yeah.
Sorry.
It's kind of like the thing you buy at Walgreens, you know, to massage your back that, you know, feels like fingers going up and down your back.
I thought that could be something your mom said to you when you were a kid. I'm going to slap the feathers off of you.
My mother was usually a little more direct. I'm getting the spoon. Did you ever get smacked with a wooden spoon?
Nope.
You know what else she had? She had, the rubber ball and the band, the paddles that you bounced that on. What was that called? A bolo ball or something? I can't remember what it was.
I can't remember, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, every time I'd break the rubber band on mine, she'd take the paddle and put it in the drawer.
Smart woman. I never got smacked or hit or spanked or. I got sat in the corner, a chair a lot.
I remember two spankings. I remember one when I ran off when I was like five with the kids in the neighborhood and came back all muddy and dirty. We had been out exploring somewhere. I don't even know how far away we were, and my mother couldn't find me. So I didn't get home till like 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and I got spanked for that.
I would have whipped your butt.
That was what my dad did. Yeah. You know, and it was one of those wait for your father gets home. And then when I broke the front window. Picture.
Why did you break the front window?
I thought I was helping. I was picking rocks up off the sidewalk and throwing them on the porch.
Mm-hmm.
One got away from me.
Helping.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Dad never had this. He had this look.
Yeah, well.
And you didn't want to go past that look. You didn't want to know what happened after
that. I get that, yeah. But, I mean, when I was very small, you know, and lived in town in Altoona, I mean, I had a bunch of guys that we hung out with, played baseball with, and, you know, collected baseball cards, rode bicycle. Caps were my thing. Man, I love those rolls of caps.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we all had cap guns and shooting, you know, caps. The smell of that, you just never forget.
I liked hitting rocks on them even.
Hammer, you know, hammer, baseball, end of a baseball bat. You put a whole roll down and see if you can blow up the whole roll. Yeah. I mean,
we had fun back then.
We did have fun.
Now you push a button on a thing and blow something up.
Yeah, well, no thanks. But anyway, we are having a muzzleloader contest, giving away a CVA muzzleloader. Fine folks at CVA have provided a beautiful muzzleloader for one of our lucky listeners for the month of October, November, and December. And I'm not sure if Bill got his or not. I know what was shipped or if it was shipped, but... I can't tell you.
Bill or Will?
Will, I guess. Yeah, Will, Bill, I'm not sure. But hopefully he'll call and say he got it. But I know what was picked out. So it was a good one. So let's see. Tom texted, wow, the trusty wooden spoon. And if she broke it, she got twice as mad.
That's true. I love it.
That's true. Yep. Anyway, 410-WCBM-680. Leave your name and your phone number. If you win, we have to have a way to contact you and then go on the air with me for just to say hi or, hey, I want to be in the contest or whatever. Or if you want to ask a question, that's fine, too.
Or leave your mother's number.
Or leave your, yeah, somebody else's number. Here's the question of the morning, since it's the first day of goose season. You ready for this one?
Okay.
You've seen geese coming flying in formation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what is that in the shape of? A letter.
A V.
Correct. Why is one arm of the V always longer than the other arm?
You've told me before.
I know.
And I can't remember.
John in Queenstown. Good morning, John. How you doing?
Good morning. It's because there's more geese on one side than the other.
Man, you didn't give anybody a chance, did you?
Thank you, John, because I couldn't remember.
John.
Well,
it's okay.
How many guns we need?
Yeah.
Maybe one more?
Why maybe? Not definitely.
Well, it's always a maybe, and that way there's not that extra resistance. And also, it's a matter of how much more room do you have in your safe.
That's true, too. That's true.
I don't think that stops many guys.
No, not really.
Well, that just means you have to get one more safe.
Get another safe.
How many safes do you need?
Yeah, how many safes does a man need?
Right.
Yeah, enough to have room for one more gun.
Yep.
So.
On the consumption of venison and
yes.
other various varieties, lasagna has become, for ground venison, one of my big favorites.
Oh, yes.
You can leave, if you're grinding it, if you can leave the fat out, use between one, when you're cooking it, just with a straight ground venison,
yep.
one third to one quarter Italian sausage.
Yep, exactly.
That adds all the fat you need. Make yourself a nice layer in your lasagna there, and do a bunch of other layers. And the trick to it is not to use a lasagna pan. They're too shallow. If you use the stainless steam table type pans that come in different sizes, but the deep ones.
Yeah.
Like your commercial cookware.
Yep.
The layers of all the different delicious stuff, and it doesn't bubble over and make a big fat mess.
Ah, good tip.
I like that. I did that with my chili this week, too. I put sausage in it to make some extra fat. And it wasn't deer chili. I should try deer chili. But
deer
I like
chili is excellent. I like deer chili with beans. And
yep.
you make goose chili. And this year with some tougher geese, you may want to make some chili out of them.
Yeah.
Make it without beans.
Without beans.
The flavor of the goose comes off, and the beans adds up too much, kind of. But if you do the chili without the beans, that's your best one with the goose.
Right. Very good.
Next time you make your deer chili, try three different kinds of beans. I did that this time, and it was really good. Than just the
navy beans, kidney beans, and black beans.
No, it was black beans, pinto beans, and kidney beans.
Oh, okay.
Red beans.
Okay. But that's minimalist.
Yeah.
You should have at least five in there. Come on.
All right. Well, look.
I like that. I might make baked beans that way.
There's two of us. There's two of us, John. We eat chili for a week. Oh, she makes it in the Instapot, too.
Yeah.
So, do you have an Instapot?
Your truck window's cracked open. It's no problem.
Do you? I have to think about that one for a second, but you're right. Why don't you send me a couple recipes, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. I'll publish them.
Okay, we'll have to do that.
Along with your tips for fat and so forth. Because, look, I tell my butcher, I want every scrap of fat that you can get trimmed off of this deer before you grind it. No fat, 100% no fat, no deer fat. Okay, because deer fat, for the rest of our listeners, as you know, is tallow. That's where the taste on the roof of your mouth comes in. You know, you don't want that. You want to mix in something like pork fat or beef fat if you want to have fat in your mix. And the sausage idea is spectacular. We use plain sausage. We use Italian sausage. We use breakfast sausage, depending on
Italian's
the flavor.
Italian's my favorite.
Yeah, I like the Italian.
John, do you have an Instapot?
No, I do not have an Instapot.
You need to ask Santa Claus for one for Christmas. Because
three-pound goose
awesome.
Roast, 50 minutes. Falls off the bone.
You mean deer or goose?
Deer.
Deer. Use goose.
You can use goose, too. Yeah. But it's wonderful. Instapot is the best invention they ever made for cooking.
That sounds real good. Now, not having the fat ground into the meat, if if someone's going to take their meat out of the freezer and make patties out of it or something, cook it right up as quick as they can,
right,
that's good. But if you have the meat ground into it, fat oxidizes
at
a faster rate. It doesn't.
You can't freeze it.
Freezer life.
Yep, I know. Yep, I agree. So,
right.
And vacuum pack everything when you get it from the deer processor.
Yes.
Or have him do it. All right, buddy, we got to roll. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Thanks.
See you. Bye-bye. Tim and Kearney, good morning, Tim.
Hey, good morning, Al. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning.
What's up?
Hey, calling to say hello and get in the muzzleloader contest and lament a little bit about the fishing season that wasn't.
Yeah, not much, was it?
No. Well, the only thing I can say is thank goodness for catfish.
There you go. They're out there, man.
Yeah, they are everywhere.
Yep.
And you don't need chicken livers, smelly baits, or whatever, because rattle traps and chatter baits have been catfish crack this year.
Wow, that's cool. That's good to know.
Yeah.
You get that big thump, and you think, man, there's a rockfish, and then the head shaking starts.
Yeah,
and then the catfish starts
bouncing. But you know what? I've lamented early on this year about it, but you know what? As hard as they fight, you know what? It's a good time fighting them, and it's a blast.
I love fishing. It doesn't matter what's on the end of the line. It's just a jerk on one end waiting for a jerk on the other.
You got that right.
So it can be a perch, a bass. Yeah. So
Breen and Jason got a bunch of catfish.
They got
here.
Some catfish and fried them up. They had a good meal.
All
right. All right, buddy. Thank you.
All right, Alan. Thanks a lot.
Happy
a
Thanksgiving.
Day.
See you. Bye-bye. All right, we got Craig and Dave. Hang on, guys. We got to do this break. I'm sorry. It's just got to do it. And I got to tell the folks about a few of our fine sponsors. Bay Country Bakery in Cambridge serves not only a great breakfast from 6 to 11 a.m. Monday through Friday and all day Saturday, but they have some of the most delicious fresh-baked donuts and pastries and cookies and breads on the Eastern Shore. Enough for everyone in camp. Ask Diane and her sisters. Dave and Gina Levy are your hosts. They're trained chefs. They strive to bring you the very, very best. Bay Country Bakery, located at 2951 Coastal Highway, just through Cambridge on Route 50 East. Think Big Donut. When I'm on Route 50, heading to or from the deer stand or duck blind, my mouth, my belly can't wait to stop at Bay Country Bakery. Or maybe on a snakehead fishing trip. I just look for that big donut on the side of the building. It's a big bakery. It's a big pink donut with sprinkles on it. It's on their highway sign, and then the chocolate donut is on the front of the building right there. I mean, just, you know, you can tell it's a donut shop, really. And even after your morning hunt from 11 till 2, you can grab a tasty lunch. Visit their website. Like their Facebook page, Bay Country Bakery. Be sure to stop by, say hello. Maybe you'll see Robin and me there, that's for sure. Hey, first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers is Chesapeake Outdoors. They've got everything you need for waterfowl, including waterfowl picking, largest selection of waterfowl calls. And I heard a couple of young men in there the other day blowing on a goose call trying to figure out which one they wanted. Decoy, steel shot, gear, camo, banded camo, scent lock apparel for the deer hunters, boots, hips, and waders, Raven crossbows along with Excalibur and Mission and others, Matthews compound bows, Remington and Choppa firearms, muzzle loaders by Thompson Center CVA, Costa sunglasses, Yeti coolers, Bubba Blade knives, everything for deer hunting, everything for waterfowl hunting, including our good friend Chad. He's got that apple cracker. Saw some of that in there the other day, and the blocks are in, just saying. Chesapeake Outdoors, Route 50 East, Route 50 East, exit 39B, Dominion Road, right there in Kent Island, Chester, Maryland, 410-604-2500, 604-2500. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex. New location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex. Okay, it's first day of goose season. I'm going to give you goose hunters a couple of tips. Now, I did talk about the BPS pump. I talked about that for deer, but they also have that in 12 and 16 and 20 and 28 and 410 and even 10-gauge models on the BPS pump. The Gold Light 10-gauge is a proven standard for autoloader performance. It's a gas-operated autoloader, 3.5-inch chamber, Mossy Oak camo and so forth. You ought to try one of those. The Maxis is the one that Browning developed for waterfowl hunting. The autoloader shotgun is waterfowl hunting perfection. 3 and 3.5-inch chambers. The new power drive gas system reduces recoil. And then the recoil-operated kinematic drive autoloader shotgun, the most reliable, fastest cycling, best balanced, and softest shooting recoil-operated autoloader on the planet, the A5. In Mossy Oak Shadow Grass, blades, DuraTouch camo, fiber optic front sight, the humpback receiver, ergonomically balanced, 100,000 round and 5-year guarantee. Where can you find all these fine Browning camo shotguns for waterfowl and more? That's at Clyde Sports Shop. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, your full-line Browning dealer. Phone 410-242-6108, 242-6108 for Clyde's Sports Shop and Browning. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowards. Don't let them pick guitars and drive them old trucks. Make them be doctors and lawyers and such.
And now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
They'll never stay home and they're always alone. Even with someone they love.
All right. We've got Craig in Port Deposit. We'll talk to Craig and then we'll talk to Dave in Perry Hall. Good morning, Craig. How are you?
Good morning, Alan. How you doing?
I'm well. Thank you for holding.
Good, good. Not a problem. You know, back to the junior hunt, years ago in the early 60s, I was 14.
Right.
Some gentlemen, friends of my parents, took me down to the Eastern Shore goose hunting and deer hunting for that weekend. And I had never really gone either, goose or deer.
Right.
So that morning, we were out there on the swamps there, and the guys were trying to call geese. And I said, I can do better than that. You know, when your voice changes as you get older.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I was calling them in like nobody's business. They used me. Okay, Rick. Yeah, they call the geese now. And then after lunch, we went driving deer. And I stumbled onto a big old doe that was laying down.
Yeah.
And this going to your one-eared deer story.
Sure, go ahead.
And I shot her in the ear off. The guy behind me shot her dead, and then he says, okay, you were the first to shoot, you got it.
Yeah.
Never cut at a deer.
Never did. Well, I bet you learned fast, right?
Yes, sir, I did. Went hunting all my life. I don't do it nowadays because of, I guess, medical reasons. But,
sure.
I was still listening to you every day.
I appreciate that. I appreciate
Have
that.
Have a good Thanksgiving, and thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Craig. Appreciate that.
Bye.
Bye-bye. There he goes. Where'd Dave and Perry Hall go? There he is. Hi, Dave. How are you?
Good morning, you guys.
What's
good
up?
Morning. Good Saturday.
We are.
I just had an economic question. Or what does the average deer dress out to?
The average deer dresses out, I would say, probably just over 100 pounds if you put everything together.
Okay.
We had one the other day that was taken in Queen Anne's County. It was a big non-typical buck. It dressed out at 242 pounds.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but that's the exception rather than the rule. Your average doe is going to be 70 to 90 pounds. I mean, you get a big doe, it's going to be 120. I've taken those that have probably dressed 140. That's the biggest one I can remember. That was also in Kent County. So, you know, it all depends on the nutrition and the genetics. Your bucks will go average, but you know, I'm going to say average buck, this 2.5 year old buck is going to be 130 pounds. You get into the little older age classes, you know, 3.5, 4.5 years old. They're going to be up 160, 170. And then, of course, then there's the bigger ones that dress out around 200 pounds, which a big mature whitetail will do. Again, Western Maryland, a little smaller over there. The soil's not that great. The genetics aren't that great. Although there's some nice deer coming up over there. But here in the middle part and Eastern Shore, where, you know, you've got ideal food situations with a lot of agriculture and a lot of white, acorns and things like that, white oak acorns, you're going to have some pretty nice sized deer.
Once you take one, you got to get a tag?
Yes, you have to have a license to kill a deer.
Well, you have to have the license first.
You have to have the hunter safety course first, and then the license. And then, yes, you have to tag the deer when you find it in the field before you move it.
Okay.
And you have to enter it on your harvest card at that time.
Do you pay a fee at that point?
No. No, your basic license is $24.50.
Oh, if you're successful, then that's
that's up front. If you know, it's $24.50, and also up front if you want to bow hunt is a $6 tag. If you also want to hunt with a muzzleloader, that's a $6 tag. So now you're at $36.50 for any deer hunting you want to do. If you want to take that bonus deer, it's another $10, which is extremely reasonable for the amount of deer you're allowed to harvest here in Maryland.
I was just saying, the reason I bring this up, I have a friend of mine who's on hard times now, and he goes out hunting, and he I think he told me he got three, and he's got meat this winter.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
That's a good, So there are people in Maryland still, I guess, subsisting.
That's true. That's true.
What they can take, and it means a lot to him.
Yep, exactly.
Okay.
Any other questions?
No, I had my coffee out, but I drank it waiting to get on.
Sorry about that. Well, listen, let me say this, though. When you ask about the field-dressed weight, okay, if you have you have an animal that dresses 130 pounds, okay,
all right,
you're going to get about maybe 50 pounds of edible meat out of that.
Oh.
Because you got hide weight, you've got head weight, you've got bone weight, okay? So you've got all that, and when you boil it all down to boneless, it's about 50% or less of the weight of the deer.
See, I was asking the wrong question at first.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't understand that either. So,
well, okay.
You have a weight when
the deer's alive. Let's say you kill a nice big buck. Go ahead.
So you have a weight when they're alive,
right?
Okay, and when you shoot it,
right?
When you dress it out, it's when you take the innards.
Yep, you take the innards out.
That's when the dressed weight comes into
play. That's the dressed weight, right?
And then net weight is after you've had it butchered.
Well, the net weight is after you have it butchered, but you know there still could be some bone weight in there if you have bones in your steaks and in your roast and things like that.
Okay, but still, that's the net weight technically.
Yeah,
okay.
The net weight. There's a chart out there, and I have to get that chart. I've published that chart in the past. It's on one of my other computers, but it's a chart that was published years ago by the Penn State who has a tremendous deer laboratory program, and it's it's based the live weight, and then the field dressed weight, and the bone weight, and the hide weight, and all that is all categorized. And it's a great chart. It tells you, you know, if your deer weighs 200 pounds, your hide weighs 38 pounds, and your bones weigh 27 pounds, and you know, it boils it right down to the edible pounds of meat. And I might be able to find it online, but it's the live weight is calculated like they calculate cattle with the hearth girth weight. Right behind the front legs, if you take a tape measure and measure the girth of the deer, that'll give you the estimated live weight.
Okay.
Okay, that's how they judge cattle on the hoof, about how much they weigh. They put a tape around it's called the heart girth, right behind the front legs.
Legs.
Yep, and they say, okay, this one, you know, I killed a 41-inch deer heart girth dressed 196 pounds on the scales.
Unfortunately, on us, they have to do it down by the waist.
All right.
Well, John, thank you, because I just learned something
Dave.
Today.
Dave?
I can't read that far.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
Take care.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Bye-bye. Mike in Halethorpe. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
How you doing, Alan and Robin? How y'all doing today?
Doing great.
Wonderful. How are you?
Great. You weren't there last time, Robin, but I called in. I was stuck on the side of 95 with a flat tire. You remember me?
I remember that. Yep.
Okay. Deer report. I've been seeing four-pointers everywhere. And I saw this one magnificent specimen, looked like he was three times on either side. He looked a little immature, but he had a fairly decent-sized rack, and the girls are everywhere.
Oh, yeah. That's good. I'm going to try and get out there tonight. I'm going to try and get out there. A fella shot, I told a story about the fella that shot the big buck next to me first day of muzzleloader season, and the deer survived. I'm going after that one tonight.
That's what I was going to ask you.
What?
Yep.
You're still going hunting tonight?
And happy.
Yeah, why?
Because that our favorite restaurant has that special you were asking about.
Oh, well, we'll talk about it.
I just
how'd
got
you, how'd you like that for the, you know, we'll talk about it.
That means I'm not going out to dinner and he's going deer hunting.
So. Oh, no, that's the classic line. Yes, dear, I'll talk to you about it later.
We'll talk later, yep.
I'll send you an email or, yeah.
He'll talk after he gets home from hunting.
Here, text me where the restaurant is and I'll reply. We're 3 feet away from each other.
I had a hard time reading that. That's when I could got the guy's name wrong.
This is Mike.
We text each other when we're trying to hide stuff from the niece that, you know, she shouldn't be.
Oh, here. Yeah. 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 And when the dogs are in the room, you say, look over there at the big yellow. Yeah. You don't call the dog's name.
Yeah. I don't want to wake her up or get her to move.
Yeah. Look at the black and white one over there, what she's doing. All right. See you later.
All right, now, have a good
Happy Thanksgiving.
Bye-bye.
See
have
you,
great
Mike.
Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Hey, Joe, how are you? Hello, Joe.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. You?
Great. Listen, I own some land in Virginia.
Okay.
100 acres, and I rent it out to a hunt club.
Right.
And I was wondering if it's normal practice for the hunt club to clear a path for disabled hunters.
Did they do that without permission?
I'm not sure. I don't remember if I gave them permission or not.
Well,
and it's not in the contract.
Well, what are you saying? You want to prosecute these guys, or what do you want to do?
No, I don't. I just wondered if it's normal practice for them to do that.
Well, I mean, if they didn't talk to you about it, I think that would be worth a discussion. If it's not in the contract, you know, you could potentially find them in violation if you wanted to, but I think it's worth talking about more than just, you know, coming down hard on them. If they have a guy that's disabled and he's in the club, you might want to mention it to them. I mean, did they cut trees down, or are they just making a path through the woods, or what are they doing?
They're a path through the woods, and I think it's for a golf cart.
Well, I mean, you know, you can write anything into your contract that you want. You can say, you know, no disturbing the landscape. You know, if you want to rake out a path or something to make it a little easier to get back through there, that's one thing. But clearing brush and that type of thing on your property, making a trail, is, you know, that's a completely different thing. It's your property.
I don't think it's common practice.
You can call the shots. I mean, it, you know, if you know about a disabled hunter and you have the conversation, you say, hey, guys, you want to clear a path back here through this patch of woods, you're welcome to do so. Or, you know, I don't want anybody cutting anything down. You know, that's your call. You're the landowner, huh?
Have you seen it in while you're hunting?
He's saying, do people do it on a normal, or is it just
we don't have any disabled hunters where
right,
I hunt.
That's what I was saying.
I don't think it's
a norm unless you have a disabled hunter in your group.
Right. I mean, if you have somebody, you certainly want to try and accommodate them. I mean, I can see that. I mean, you know, you can carry the guy back in, but if he's on a ATV or something like that, I mean, if you allow them to use the ATVs to get back into their hunting stands, you know, I guess it's a given that they would think they could do that. But
right. So it's worth having a conversation with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So.
All right, Alan, thank you.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Right. Sorry. Uh-huh. Yep. Bye-bye. Okay, look what I found. I went online, okay, and I put in accurately calculate deer weight by the heart girth. And guess what came up? A PDF from the Maryland Hunting Quarterly.
That's pretty cool.
Isn't that cool? Yeah. So there you go. So I clicked on it. And do I want to download it? Yes, I want to download it. And there it is. All right. So, heart girth, distance around the chest, but just behind the foreleg in inches, the live weight in pounds, the dressed weight in pounds, the hide weight, blood weight, bone weight, excluding the bones of the head in pounds. The edible lean meat is the boneless edible venison, what you take home in the box. So, here it is. If you have a heart girth of, let's take an average deer, and say it's 32 inches. The live weight of that deer is 111 pounds. The dressed weight is 85 pounds, which is an average deer. The hide is 8.5 pounds. The blood weight is 6.1 pounds. The bone weight is 14.6 pounds. And the edible lean meat on a deer that dresses out at 85 pounds is 50 pounds. So there you go. There's the chart. You can download it. You can
right off the Maryland Hunting Quarterly.
Right off the Maryland Hunting Quarterly. Isn't that something? Pretty amazing to me. How about that? So now I have it. All right. 410-WCBM 680, 410-922-680.
And you got it from yourself.
And I got it from me. Yes, of course. But it is from, you know, Pennsylvania. But if you deer heart girth chart, there it is. Download it. Amazing. I amaze myself sometimes. You know, for almost 10 years, hunters have relied on Onyx to help navigate public and private land boundaries across the country. Onyx Hunt is the only tool comprised of over 400 countrywide maps that gives clear private and public land boundaries, trails, hunting-specific data, and more. New map layers are constantly being added by pairing with some of the leading names in conservation and the outdoor industry like the National Wild Turkey Federation and the Quality Deer Management Association. Whether it's on your smartphone or your handheld GPS, make the most of your precious time in the field by navigating with Onyx Hunt. And I will tell you, the guys at the farm in Dorchester County, it's 400 acres, they have Onyx on their phones.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah, they do, because there's a lot of different private land and public land that surrounds their property, and they want to make sure that they stay on their property. So there you go. Tom in Odenton. Good morning, Tom. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, Alan. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome,
and
buddy.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and Robin.
Well, thank you.
Same to you.
Thank you. So, real quick question for you. I was at the Goodwill, and I paid $2 for it's a Mitchell reel and a Garcia rod, and both made in France.
Right.
Alrighty.
Right.
And
what's the number on the reel?
I don't know. I couldn't find it. It just says salt water.
Okay.
But I wanted to take it to, was it Dockerman's you always talk about?
Yeah. Well, every now and then, yeah, I talk about them. Or Clyde's. Yeah. Clyde's is a great repair shop, yeah.
Okay, so which one do you think would be, I just take it there just to have them grease it up and put new line on it and check it all out?
Go to Clyde's Sports Shop.
Okay, Clyde's. I'll do that.
Yep, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway, exit number 9, 410-242-6108.
He hasn't said that a couple times over the years.
Yeah.
It kind of sounds like it. Okay, that's not too far away. Then all right.
Nope.
Yeah, but
I'll tell you what, you have a Mitchell reel that's made in France. That was made probably in the 50s. That's a collectible. You want to hang on to that.
That's what I figured.
Hang on to that.
For $2 and,
you did well.
And you know, and another thing. So, you know, I'm in Odenton and,
yep.
My God, you know, the building boom is just, and just deer that are just roadkill. It's just unbelievable.
Oh yeah. Yep. Well, it is the season.
Yes, and it's everything. I mean, it's just amazing. I'm thinking pretty soon that you'll probably have to go to a museum down there or something to see one, because it's just, I mean, it's just outrageous. Well, I guess where they build everywhere. I mean, they got nowhere else to go, so.
That's right.
Yeah. We saw a bunch. We saw a bunch yesterday on the road when we were moving.
It's the rut. You know, the bucks are chasing the does, and they don't. Wherever the doe runs, being chased by a buck. I mean, she's going to run into traffic and get whacked, and you know, maybe he's going to get whacked. Maybe she makes it across and he doesn't. Vice versa. Yeah. It just happens this time of year. Time of year. All right, Tom. Appreciate the call. Thank you, buddy. See you.
Bye-bye.
There he goes, Tom and Odington. Clyde Sports Shop, your full-line Browning dealer. Let me tell you something. They've got some great optics. Now, they got gunsmithing services there. And, of course, if you were getting ready for deer season, you got a rush job. Don't count on it because they've got a lot of guns in there. But I'll tell you, after the season, gunsmithing, get everything done. O-rings replaced in your 1187, your 1100, 1187. You know, get your scopes mounted and bore sighted. I'll tell you what, Clyde's has some great optics. I might be visiting them for that scope for that muzzle loader. I might buy a Leopold. I might buy a Nikon. You know, I saw some nice scopes the other day. I saw a beautiful muzzle loader with a BDC reticle. You have no idea what I'm talking about, do you?
Say the one with Swarovski in it, and I'll know what you're talking about.
Well, Swarovski. Oh yeah, I know. You know Swarovski, but I can't afford a Swarovski. Okay, so, and I wouldn't do that. Well, maybe with the ring fund, matching funds, I probably could. But that's a topic for another discussion after, like, talking about dinner tonight. Gunsmithing, rod and reel repair, licenses, all the services hunters and anglers need at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. Get yourself another box of ammo while you're in there. Get yourself, something for the upcoming hunting season. And let them know you're out there and you're listening to the Outdoors and Radio Show. 242-6108, ClydeSports.com is the website. Check out all the gun specials on the website as well. You're up. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
I live back in the woods, you see. A woman and the kids and the dogs and me.
And now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Did he say now more on hunting, Alan Ellis?
I didn't hear it.
And now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Thank you, Ron. I didn't hear it.
Thank you, Ron. I was gonna have a word with Ira if he said more on hunting.
More on hunting?
Yeah, now more on hunting with Alan.
I kind of, never mind.
You kind of what?
I like that.
You like that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You like a lot of stuff that degrades me.
It doesn't degrade you. It just makes my life amusing.
Well, next week we'll be pre-recorded. We'll have Brian Eiler here from Maryland Department of Natural Resources. He's the Deer Program Manager. I really want you guys to take a look at the Maryland Hunting Quarterly online or pick up a copy somewhere. Read my little welcome. It's kind of editorial and introduction to what's going on. It talks about the Canada goose situation. It also gives you the website from the Maryland Hunting Coalition. Read our summary of our summit. It's on the news page. We had the hunting summit back in September. There's a whole bunch of stuff we talked about, leaders in the hunting community. And the General Assembly is right around the corner. We don't have any really bills pre-filed. We're hearing some stuff out there that's floating around. We're floating a few things that we want to address. But those decisions are yet to be made. We don't have a date yet for Blaze and Camo Day if we do one this year, if we decide to do one this year. I'm just a little disappointed in the past 4 years, as much as we've promoted Blaze and Camo Day, where hunters have the opportunity to get face-to-face with the governor and their elected officials, the lack of support from the hunting community for that. But we'll let all of you know what we decide. We'll let the leaders of the hunting communities know what we decide as well. So, you know. So check us out online at Maryland Hunting Quarterly. It's MarylandHuntingQuarterly.com and MDHuntingCoalition.org. And for those of you who are in pursuit of a nice buck, a sick of deer stag, or maybe you've taken a nice black bear, bucks-bears-stags.com. We're involved in a lot of stuff, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
Or go to ellisoutdoors.com and click on the links. That's the easiest way. ellisoutdoors.com. All the links there on the page. Hunting Quarterly, Hunting Coalition, Maryland Loves Crabs, and so forth. So, all right. Ron is going to start the music. I'm going to talk to Lincoln. Say good morning, Lincoln. How are you?
Pretty good. I just called in to get in the contest. I finally made it through.
You got it. And you got your number? We got your phone number?
Yes.